He was the color analyst on the last night's LSU Memphis game. SEC Network, White Station High Grad, Tennessee Vols. Dane Bradshaw making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, Bradshaw, it was nice to hear your voice on the air last night. It's also great when you happen to be on a Memphis game because, like, you know the history of the program. Like, you can drop an Andre Turner or an Elliott Perry just because of the way you were raised in the city. So it was fun seeing you last night.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'll tell you, after the game, I was mad at myself because I had an Antonio Burks reference in my notes, and I wasn't able to get to it. I wanted to share the story about, you know, when I was in high school and I'd go over to play at the Finch Center, because when I look at Alex Lomax, he reminds me of him a little bit just with the build and, yeah, and how he could defend for 94 feet. And I just remember going to the Finch Center. I'd play with Rodney Carney, Chris Massey, and they were all better than me, but I never felt like, okay, I can't hang with these guys once I get to college. But the one guy that really made me feel insecure when I left the hoop was Antonio Burks, man. I mean, I couldn't even get a dribble past him. He was lightning fast and a bulldog.
He was an absolute killer. I mean, I was somebody who sat in on those practices, you know, all the time as the beat writer. And he was intense in practice. People forget how good he was. I think he was like the whatever league they were in at the time. I guess it was CUSA. Yeah. Like, he was CUSA Player of the Year. Like, he was great.
Yeah, and I've been, you know, doing games on the SEC Network, so I rarely, you know, get a team like Memphis assigned to me. But, you know, for comparison's sake, Tyler Ulis a couple years ago at Kentucky, a guy's named Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC, and I had one of their games, and I told Coach Cal, I said, man, he reminds me of a little bit thinner Antonio Burks. And right when I said that, he's like, oh, boy, now Burks, now that boy could defend. And it was like, hey, no matter how good Tyler Ulis was, he didn't say Burks was better, but he kind of gave the, you know, hint like, man, now that guy could lock you up.
Talking to Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network. He was on the call last night, Memphis, LSU. Final score, 85-76. Just let me ask you general thoughts on what you saw from Penny Hardaway in his second game as the Tigers head coach.
I was fortunate enough to, you know, see their shoot-arounds and their scouting report and all that. I mean, I was really impressed. And I haven't been as close to it as maybe some of the other guys and yourself in Memphis to see firsthand, you know, how he coaches in high school, all that. But this was not, you know, a former NBA player rolling the ball out there and saying, let's run and gun and play some AAU ball. I mean, it was a detailed scouting report. He's very engaged. They're working hard. I thought their game plan was right. I thought at the end of the day, LSU just had the best player on the court, and that was Tremont Waters. And there's going to be a lot of good teams this year that face that same problem when the buzzer hits zero and you say, you know what, the difference in this game is because LSU had Waters and we didn't. But I thought everybody, you know, should be really encouraged by the performance that Penny Hardaway had. I felt like he called timeouts at the right time to keep the crowd out of the game. We used to call when I played for Bruce Pearl a really fast style of play. It was more controlled chaos, and it can look like just straight chaos at times. But and I'm sure Penny's the same way. You know, Bruce Pearl would let you take a lot of questionable shots, but he would rather have players taking confident questionable shots than not playing with enough confidence. And I think you see that in the way his players play right now.
It's funny you mentioned the timeouts because I noticed that as well. Like every time, not every time obviously, but like if LSU would go on a little 6-0 run and the crowd started getting into it, Penny'd go ahead and burn one and like calm things down. And that's among the reasons Memphis was never really out of the game. I think it became clear in the final, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, they weren't going to be able to get enough stops to actually win. But they never got down by more than 11, never got closer than 7 in the final 10 minutes, but never got down by more than 11. And I think some of that, you know, being able to hang around the entire game, was Penny was really good at stopping momentum when he felt like LSU might be getting it.
And LSU is going to give other teams in the SEC and around the country a lot more problems than they gave Memphis, because their three-point guard lineup is supposed to be a huge advantage. But then just by coincidence, they were going up against a team, maybe the only other team in the country, that also starts a three-point guard type lineup. And so I thought Memphis's counter there, just from a pure matchup standpoint, was really good. It's just, you know, going to take another year of experience, get some more recruits in. But they were certainly in that game. all the way. And I just think I know a lot was made in the post game about the offensive rebounds by the staff, but I think as much as anything was not just the offensive rebounds. It was when Tremont Waters got in there and they got the ball to anybody down low, even if it wasn't off an offensive rebound. I mean, the shooting percentage was probably somewhere up in the 70%. They dominated the points in the paint, and that's not all just about offensive rebounds. So they're a little bit thin. They're a little bit thin, and that's what's going to come when you start, a smaller lineup. You're going to have to sacrifice some of that and try to make up for it with turnovers and pressure.
To your point, LSU inside the arc shot 64.4% last night, and that obviously is they got two maybe pros in their front court, and Memphis is undersized everywhere, but including the front court, they don't have a rim protector. This is going to be an issue all season, not as much as it was against LSU, but all season. And so I want to ask you, because you mentioned your playing days at Tennessee for Bruce Pearl, you were a part of some very good undersized college basketball teams. What did you guys do to try to offset you physically can't match up with some other teams. What did you guys do back then to try to offset that?
First of all, when you're playing, and I was the undersized four man, and when you play down low,
just so people remember, you were an undersized four man playing against like Al Horford.
Right. Well, and so I was so slow as a guard, they just kept moving me down further and further until I actually had a foot speed, and it wasn't until I got up against a 7-footer that I could actually keep up with them. So, but we were kind of doing small ball before it was popular. But the thing is, a lot of these big men, like Naj Reid, he's projected, a first round pick out of LSU. And when he tried to post up yesterday, I forget who it was, but he had a smaller defender on him. When you start fronting the post players hate that. And when you're making it hard on that entry passer and you're making them guess, all right, where's the defender going to be? These post guys would much rather just have a guy behind them that's their same height and they can get the ball in the post and they can work on the move they've been working in practice for the whole week. But when you get a scrappy little defender down there with good instincts, now it makes them uncomfortable and you force a lot of turnovers and keep them off balance. But we had guys, Chris Lofton, Juwan Smith, CJ Watson, who ended up having a great NBA career, but more than just being great, we weren't great athletes, but I think one of the most underrated parts of basketball is just the instincts and timing. I mean, I've played with guys, Major Wingate is a 6'10 guy. He'd walk in the room and say, man, that guy's going to dominate you on the glass, but he just never had that timing. When the ball bounced off the rim, he was always a split second late. And when you have shorter guys like Harris and Lomax, before you know it, and Martin, those guys can end up out-rebounding somebody that's got 5 inches on them just because they've got the high IQ and the knack of where that ball is going to go.
I'm talking to Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network. He's on Twitter, at Dane Bradshaw. Obviously, Tyler Harris got going last night. He finishes 7-16 from the field, 6-13 from three-point range. I don't know how much of him you saw in high school, if any, but what did you think of what you saw last night?
Well, he's not short on confidence, that's for sure. But that's what you got to kind of play with. I mean, when you're one of those shorter guys on the court, you got to have that swagger and that confidence, that chip on your shoulder. I mean, I'm not saying he's a showboat like this, but I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I remember Andy Reid; they would talk about, do you calm DeSean Jackson down? He's like, man, when you're that small and that size, you just got to let them go out there like they run the world and don't let them stop. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And Harris is out there. He doesn't know what size he is. He's just out there balling. And I thought before the game, I was like, man, he's going to be the X factor because he's one of the toughest type players to scout for, because you're like, man, he could go 0-for-6 because he takes some tough long threes like he did against Tennessee Tech. Or he could change the game and just go on a 9-0 run and get his team into it. And if you're at home, of course, the crowd's into it. And, I think his shooting ability is going to be a momentum changer. And it's not just one or two threes here or there, but it's those one-man 9-0 runs and the momentum that's going to come with it. But, one thing that I had the benefit of seeing being down there on the court, after halftime and even during the game, what I liked about him was Alex Lomax was struggling to get the ball in the hole. And over again, it was Harris, who was playing well, that was coming over to him like, hey, keep your head up, man. You got this. And just to kind of see that you know, those two guys have each other's back naturally in year one, I thought was a really special sign of things to come.
No, that's a really interesting observation. I'm wrapping up here with Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network. Last thing before I let you go, I'm going to talk about it in the next segment, but your Tennessee Vols are they look like a legitimate Final Four contender. They do not have the best pro prospects in the country or even in the SEC. But that's a pretty well-put-together basketball team that looked good last night in a win over Georgia Tech. How closely have you been able to watch them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a team you can trust for sure.
Right.
They look really similar to where they were a year ago, but they're better. And Grant Williams is stepping out, knocking some threes down that he wasn't doing last year. Kyle Alexander's a big guy down low playing well, and their sixth man, who was sixth man of the year in the SEC, Lamonte Turner, he's been out with an injury. But to me, the key on that whole team, where they can go from Sweet 16, Elite Eight, to legit Final Four, will be this point guard they got, Jordan Bone. I mean, he's been a work in progress for the first couple years, and now this is the year where he needs to take a step up and, you know, try to be that. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as T.J. Ford was at Texas for Rick Barnes, but he's got the speed and the vision that has drawn comparisons, and people have been anxious to see that level of his game. And if he can do that at the point, now I'll start looking at them as a Final Four contender.
It is Dane Bradshaw, the White Station high grad, former Tennessee Vol. Now you see him on the SEC Network. If you're not following him on Twitter, go do that. It's at Dane Bradshaw, at Dane Bradshaw. Always good to catch up with you, buddy. I'll see you real soon.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're the best. That's Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network. You know, when I guess, was a young reporter at the Commercial Pill, he started to be a high school star.
Yeah.
And people doubted whether he'd be good enough to play at a place like Tennessee because, like, you know, physically, he was a big guard but not a great athlete.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, Bruce Pearl figured out how to use him perfectly because he was a – they just used him as an undersized four.
The 6'4", kind of slower guard almost, yeah.
Well, I mean, but they played him at the four.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they played him at the four in the same time when Florida was winning back-to-back
The Horford
national titles with a front court of Joakim Noah, Al Horford. They had a kid named Chris Richard who was really good.
Yeah.
And I want to say Dane and those Vols beat them like twice or something. Like they beat them consistently. Like that Florida wins back-to-back titles, but they were not good against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And some of it was because of Dane, because of the way Bruce and figured out how to play and bother those bigs. And so it was.
I enjoyed listening to him talk about that.
Well, I was especially wanted to get his thoughts because Memphis is going to have to get creative with how they guard opposing bigs because they can't just match up. Big for big. The roster is flawed at its core.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk to him about that. And I thought it was an interesting observation about Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax. Dane said, and this is stuff that you can see when you're in the arena that you might not catch on television. He, of course, sitting courtside doing TV, that every time, you know, Alex was struggling. He was not good last night.
No.
I think one of nine.
On either end of the floor.
One of nine from the field, four assists, one turn. Only got one steal, played 23 minutes. Clearly, when you're struggling like that, and you're used to being a state champion who wins every time out, the centerpiece of a team, or at least the guy running a team well, when you have a night like last night, it can get to you. And according to Dane, it was Tyler Harris who consistently was going over to Alex Lomax, "Keep your head up, keep your head up. You're gonna be fine." And I don't know what it means big picture, but keep in mind it wasn't that long ago when people thought these two guys could not play together in college because they were rivals, they wouldn't work together. Some suggested, accurately or not, they didn't like each other.
Right.
And that's they can clearly play together. We've already seen that through two exhibitions and two games. But if it really is that they're already a de facto support system for each other, that's a pretty good sign as well. It doesn't mean they won't be issues someday. Any basketball team is susceptible to that. But I thought that was a good sign, something that Dane pointed out.